Call a meeting to order. We'll start with a salute to the flag. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Open the floor for public comment. John.
Are they going to do the pond this year, like they said, dredge it out, or?
No, well, no, because Scott Gallery took a new job, and the new guy didn't want nothing to do with it. So we lost out on that, but I'm looking into other options, and we'll see what we can get done for spring.
And did the guy come and do the blacktop for the dips and stuff?
What dips are they?
Well, or the village for the water department.
He came and finished off all of the finished off all of the places where we dug. Yeah.
He didn't do the one in front of Bailey, did he?
I don't remember which ones he did.
No, one in front of Bailey is the Gallo's got to come back and do something. You got to get a hold of him. There's a dip.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll have to look at that then. I was unaware of that. So if we got a punch list item there, although we don't have any retention left, so good luck. We'll have to take a look at it. Let me know what you got to have, or you know, we can get a hold of.
The Gallo's the second time to get it. Like
we'll bring LeBurge out and have him look at it. Okay. Anything else? Yes.
Hi, Chris Crowell. I live up on Alterany Lane.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to know if there was going to be any improvements that were made up on that road, if there's any plans.
This is the streets commissioner right here.
I am not aware of any. I have talked with Jay this morning. He's involved in a water project, but I will find out from him if there's anything scheduled.
Well, I spoke to him yesterday about work that was started up there. It just didn't seem to be quite completed.
Oh, okay.
And I have some photographs of what happens to my house and property every rainstorm. And I didn't know if I could present them to you or just to someone that might want to take a look.
I would like a copy, yes.
A copy?
On
my iPad, on my camera, I can try to get copies, but I actually have photographs and some video of the rainstorm that comes down. I'm actually at the T-shape on the road. It's just
You can email it to him. He has an email, village email address, trusteeair, A-Y-E-R, at villageofnassau.org, and you'll get him that one.
Okay.
Anyone else?
Was they had a meeting last week for the planning board with the American Legion Hall?
Mm-hmm.
I was impressed with them. They did a nice job.
Okay.
They really did a nice job.
Maybe we'll have a report today from the planning board. There's a, so maybe not.
I don't think.
Anything else? Okay. Minutes from the September meeting.
Make a motion to accept the minutes as written.
I have a motion by Guy, accept the minutes as presented, and seconded by Randy. Any questions on the minutes? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion's carried. Treasurer's report for September. Motion by Randy to accept the treasurer's report is submitted.
Second.
Second by Bill. Any questions on the treasurer's report? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. No correspondence?
Well, yeah, there is.
Oh.
Just two of them.
There we go. I don't know. We have the Hudson Valley Berkshires Interfaith Network invites friends and neighbors throughout the area to gather for a potluck dinner and community building meeting. Let's see. Set up at 6:15 dinner, discussion to follow at 7:00. Thursday, October 27th at Grace United Methodist Church. We'll post this out.
Yes, I did.
Is it posted? Okay. It's posted on the bulletin board. If anybody's interested, you can find out more about it there. And Stop New York Frat Gas Pipeline presents a renewable energy fair on Saturday, October 29th from 10 to 3 at Maple Hill High School, Maple Hill Road in Castle. Have a renewable energy for the future. So if anyone's interested in attending that, October 29th, 10 to 3, Maple Hill High. Is that everything?
Yes.
Reports, Highway Department.
Highway Department has been busy doing a lot of water work. And Jay in this past month has trimmed the branches along the sidewalk set up for the Oktoberfest, which was a success apparently. Mowed grass and patched some potholes. And we purchased a powered pole saw. It's not a big expense, and I think that would be very necessary to keep men from climbing up in trees and cutting the branches.
Got a little saw on the end of the pole,
right?
You know, reach out.
Yeah. It's a good thing. A lot of accidents happen with people falling out of trees. I also, as part of the sidewalk program that we have starting in the spring, went up to see a gentleman in New York Transportation Department, Peter Ryan, who was in charge of the local programs. He explained to me something called TAP, Transportation Alternative Program, which was made available by the federal government to the tune of $97-98 million. And this was available to cities, villages, and so forth for improvements. I think maybe, Guy, you might have had something to do with this for the bike thing that we had that you're working on. I believe that's under TAP. There is money available for sidewalk reconstruction. The problem is that the minimum grant is $250,000. And it's a runner-involved program. You have to have a workshop meeting. The person responsible for it has to go to that. And then you submit an application, 10 to 15 pages, for consideration. And then it's if it's okay, then you do a formal proposal together with engineering costs and everything else involved. The only problem is that the suspense date on it was October 21. I just found out about it recently. And I'll be in contact with Mr. Ryan to find out if they will carry this program over to the following year and hopefully lower the requirement to get the grant money. The grant will pay for 80% of the work, and the village would be responsible for 20%. So, well, on $250,000, you're looking at a village obligation of $50,000. But I'm hoping that it will come in under that so that we can do more than just the sidewalk on John Street. Chatham Street is badly in need of it. It's not wide enough. And I saw Tom Mooney wheeling down a baby carriage this morning, and he looked a little stressed. It's just too narrow, and it needs work. There's no question about that. So that's all I have.
Water?
Daily average use for the month was 103,000 gallons, which kept steady through the month. Two coliform tests performed, all were negative. Hydrogen flush on routine samples were and all done. I had to replace a shutoff on 26 Church Street, turn water on and off several locations. Had a couple UFPL calls and they answered those. And John asked before the items on last month's agenda for packing were done on Route 20 and 203. And water's running fine. And everything was okay at this point.
Okay. Police Department.
Officer Jones filed a written report for September. In September, there were 6 arrests made, 28 incidents, 60 traffic tickets were issued. 6 of those tickets were for speeding, including 3 of them in excess of 20 miles an hour. Average mile an hour over the speed limit was 21 for the tickets. We had 6 tickets written for operating a motor vehicle while using an electronic device. There were 3 arrests for driving while intoxicated. 2 of those were for aggravated DWI, and that's blood alcohol level above 0.18. These were significantly above. And finally, there's arrest on charges of criminal possession of a controlled substance, in this case cocaine, and criminal possession of marijuana. And the details of those are in the written report. I also included several charts based on the Rensselaer County dispatcher data that we received. Let me look at that report real quick. You can see the variation. The first chart there has, these are all the calls that were answered by the department by day over the 5-month period, April through August. And you can see the Friday and Saturday are the busiest nights, and Wednesday is as close to competing. I went ahead and broke it out also by traffic stops versus non-traffic stops. And you can see that the majority of the work they do is traffic. And you can see that, again, the patterns of which days are the most busy are the same. And for the non-traffic calls, are in the next chart, you can see those again. Saturday and Friday seem to be busy, but there are other days that are equally busy. So we'll keep looking at those. The county's been nice enough to give us those data on paper. And I have to enter it into the database, but I do that, so I'm happy to do it. Unit 602, the 2016 Interceptor Utility has 8,600 miles on it. 603, the 2011 Crown Victoria has 35,100 miles on it. I just want to bring a couple of incidents to people's attention that happened in September. One, you're probably very aware of, it was widely reported on the news the night of and morning after, and some people here were involved. On September 23rd, a car driving westbound on Church Street left the roadway, struck a mailbox, sideswiped a tree, demolished some steps in front of the house next to St. Mary's, and then crashed right into the church, destroying the vestibule. This was at about 5 o'clock in the, on a Friday evening. The person was drunk. Driver was drunk. 3 times the legal limit. Thankfully, there were no serious personal injuries. There was a passenger who had to be brought to the hospital. And I understand that there may be some long-term structural issues with the church now as a result of this. But I haven't had any update on that, but certainly a serious issue, something that happened on a, you know, if it happened a day later, that would have been during service on Saturday night, which is, would have been even more tragic, potentially more tragic. The second incident I want to bring everyone's attention to happened the night after the last board meeting. As you remember, we adopted the master plan that night, and the master plan committee, after 3 years of hard work, got together at the Village Commons to sort of celebrate that job well done and that sort of thing. Well, unfortunately, that those festivities were interrupted by a person who decided that they were going to, I don't know if I'd call it terrorize, but they certainly were going to drive through the village on a dirt bike at high rates of speed, for several hours. And they came whipping through the common several times, and eventually the police were called and they had to deal with them. But at one point, there was three or four kids, you know, under the age of 9 or 10, and you know, this guy was driving through, and at one point he fell down. He actually smashed into the gate in the fire station, between the fire station and the ball field. Fell off his bike, and we reacted, since we were very close to him. Several of us went over to him, and by the time we got over to him, he was back on the bike, revving it up, threatening us with the bike, and taking off. No, he was 35.
Oh, 35 years old.
No, there were kids around with us. But so eventually, and you know, dirt bike at night, it was difficult to keep up with him, and they didn't end up catching him that night. But he turned himself in after a warrant was put out for his arrest. We knew it was, and you know, it was a disturbing thing. I mean, I've been here only 15 years, and 16 years, I guess, now, and haven't really experienced something personal that happened, and it was just intimidating. You know, usually you feel comfortable living where, I mean, I feel pretty comfortable living here. I think all of us do, and we wouldn't be here if we didn't, but it was kind of weird. But thinking about what could have happened, it's even worse. So eventually the guy did turn himself in once a warrant was put out for his arrest, and he was charged with many various things.
Was the warrant for that incident that night?
Yes, yeah. And the reason I bring these kinds of things up is, especially, you know, here in the village, we're kind of a hub of, you know, we have one traffic light, but we're kind of a hub between, you know, some rural areas around here, but also the Pittsfield and Albany. And so a lot of things happen here. And again, you know, in southern Rensselaer County, we're sort of the place. We have the Cumberland Farms in the corner that's, you know, new. We have a Stewart that's new too. And there's just a lot of activity happening here. And it's, you know, I know it's been sort of a controversial issue, but, you know, it's good. I continue to think it's good that we have a local law enforcement. And, you know, to be honest with you, I'm actually in favor of having additional. If we can get it from the county, that'd be great. You know, we're still working with the county to try to do that, try to cover us on the hours where we can't afford to cover. So I'm just glad we have people here that we can help minimize the potential negative outcomes that could result from these kinds of things. Other places aren't so fortunate, and as we've seen even just in the past day or so, you know, tragic incidents can happen, and they happen around here. So the last thing I just want to say is that the department did its annual firearms qualifications training in September, as I mentioned last month. They did the qualifications at the Troy Police Department range, and it's part of the agreement that the five municipalities have to use their share of those kind of services. So they're able to do that free of charge. So, yeah.
Yes, sir?
No report.
Did you hear anything from Dave?
No.
Okay. I just texted them. I haven't heard anything back yet, so.
Let's see. Trustees? Randy? Guy?
Yeah, just a couple of quick things. As I mentioned at the last meeting and several meetings prior, we do have an energy efficiency committee that we're looking to fill. But in the meantime, started to think about things that we could actually do with this committee. So in order to jumpstart that, I've started to scout out grants and such that are available to the village and to village residents and other property owners to take advantage of alternative and energy efficient things. While Trustee Clark was on the board, the village started down the path of going through solar permitting processes, and we actually received $2,500 for the work we had done to a certain extent, and so we're going to continue doing that. The other thing, earlier this year, I went to a webinar on, well, I didn't go to it, I watched the webinar, about this activity called Community Choice Aggregation, and what it is where you use the buying power of all the residents or the property owners here to try to negotiate directly for better rate on electricity and things like that. So I have some information about that. If people are interested in doing that, we can certainly talk about it. And as I find out, you know, more information, I'll bring to the board for people to consider. And the other thing is, just to follow up on the Dewey Lofel trends that I talked about last time, where we had the three readings in a row on the 1-4 dioxane were pretty high. The next three readings were also very high, and then they finally changed the filters. So in the last reading that we have that we got reported on just today, in fact, we got the notification, they had changed those, and the 1-4 dioxane levels are back down to below the reportable level that they're supposed to be. The problem is they were at those elevated levels for 2 months prior to that, and that's not the first time it's happened. So I think it's something we need to think about and maybe be more quicker to react and have, you know, letters come from either the board or Dave Greenberg to sort of just let them know that we're watching.
Okay. Well, we could respond with an email to them. What's the name of the rescue group?
Romanowski.
Romanowski, yeah.
You get the right to phone things.
Yeah. It always takes forever. Yeah. Bill?
Nothing.
David?
No report.
Okay, this past month I attended the second half of the municipal accounting course that was held out in Canandaigua. So I've completed that. I also, we're going to talk about it later, but I also got with Matt from Urswama to discuss the to get a proposal or a read from him on the refuge contract that was submitted last month so that we can act on that. And I did distribute that as soon as I got it to everybody's email, so you should have seen that. So we'll act on that later. But that's pretty much what I've been up to this month. Missy?
Water bills went out, like everybody has probably already received it. And just want to remind everyone of bills cleanup is Saturday from 9 to noon, and it also is village spread day, which is open to everyone. So the company will be here, and you can have up to 3 inch.
On that note, is anybody going to be around Saturday?
I will.
Guy will be around, Randy?
Yeah. Maybe.
Phil?
No.
No? Okay, I'm going to be at an EMS conference this weekend, so I won't be around.
Who's going to be here with me?
Guy's going to be here, and possibly Dave Scosher might be here.
Well, I might be here for low staff.
Fair weather.
A bad weather friend. Okay, code enforcement.
All right, we have put together a new building permit application, which I would like to adopt a resolution on. So you want to wait for resolutions?
Yeah, I'm going to write it right down here.
And Kevin has been
working with the residents on Malden as well as Griswold, trying to get that area cleaned up. So still in the works on that end. And that's it.
Okay. Animal control.
No report.
Okay. I do know of one incident that was being worked on. I know Paul was over to see one of our residents with the chickens that got out again, but did speak with the person, and they are putting up additional fencing to contain the chickens. So I know that's something we're going to have to address here sooner rather than later. Grant writing.
Okay, we have a meeting this Saturday at 1 o'clock, and we're going to be discussing the Main Street Technical Assistance Grant application process. If anybody is interested in joining us, feel free to give me a call, and you're more than welcome to join us. And that's about it.
Okay, Village Beautification, Historic Preservation, and Bicentennial.
Thought maybe one of the trustees might mention the broken light post at the Village Commons.
We reported it to James.
I looked at it the first year, the night when I saw it, and then the next day, the 2 days later, they must have covered it, removed it.
We're aware of it, because I did get an email on it.
Just the background, those were donated, so there is a legacy attached to them. Our season is over. Thank goodness. We all survived, one way or another. Final meeting is a week from tonight. You're all invited. 6 o'clock. Perennially short of volunteers, I guess, is pretty much the case in most things around here, but we did very well at the Oktoberfest, the best year ever. We haven't received all the bills yet, but we probably are looking at about $1,500 to the good, so that's always good to end on a high note. We have wonderful weather, a lot of out-of-towners, a lot of meals, so those committee members here, thank you all very much. Trustee Forte, sorry. Historic Preservation, I had a conversation with Mr. Rizzi from St. Mary's regarding the church, and had asked him if he could give you some idea what the plans were, and that the commission would work as closely as possible, not knowing what they're planning to do, but if they needed something as an emergency to get back into the building, that we'd be very sympathetic. He informed me that they're considering putting a handicapped restroom in the front of the building somewhere. So that would constitute be definitely a change. So I said, well, at that point, we would need information from your engineer. I would assume they would have an architect to do something like that. I said, that would be a full-blown decision to be made, but at the very least, if you need to get back in the church, we'd like to help you. His comment was that the fire laws, but the entrance and access, because of the number of people in the building, prevent them from doing anything immediately very easy. Now, I'm not an expert on the fire laws, so that could very well be. I also sent him some historical information about the structure, some photographs, so that he would have some idea of what it looked like. And the interesting thing is that the vestibule, other than the glass door, seems to be the original. So it hasn't changed in 75, 80, 90 years. So that's the story with that. So more to come, I guess. Bicentennial Commission, we received entries from 10 different individuals for the logo contest. Some submitted more than one. Some submitted variations on the same thing. So we had about 17 different choices to try to narrow down. It was not easy. All of them had their own merits to it. We decided that we would have two logos, an official logo and a festival logo. So we're going to be giving each of the winners the prize money. We didn't feel that it was fair to split it. There are some changes. The official logo was designed by Keith Pryor, and the junior logo, or the festival logo, was a young boy going into 11th grade. And you're going to remember his name. Lives on Waterbury Road, not in the village, but has attended ETS. So they've both been notified. Those who did not make it have also been notified. So once we get, we have to do some modifications on some of them, which was part of the stipulation. So hopefully once we get that going, then we can start thinking about all sorts of hats and jackets and hoodies and coffee cups and notepads. Who knows what else? Only the future will tell. And just quickly, on Friday, on behalf of the village, I'm going to be attending a workshop, all-day workshop at the State Museum for local historians. So that should be interesting.
Good. Youth Committee.
So after a very busy summer season, our upcoming events will include the holiday ornament making at the firehouse and activities and workshops in conjunction with the library. These events will take place during winter months, and I'm sure as they're scheduled, we'll provide dates and times for the events.
Anything from the ZBA?
No, kind of sitting and waiting.
Sitting and waiting. Okay. So, planning board had a meeting, but nobody's got it.
I can get it.
Oh, it's her report. I had some notes.
So on the 5th, October 5th, there was a meeting before the planning board for Chatham Street, which is the old Legion. It was acquired by the Mannings, who live also on Chatham, but across the street. They are... their plan is to, in the basement, reopen the bar, tavern, and there's a couple of issues with the site. As we remember from the Cumberland Farms development, the properties are very small over there, and they don't leave a lot of room for things like parking and handicap accessibility. So they have an issue with parking. According to their plans now, they want to be able to accommodate 100 people, 100 patrons, which means they're going to, according to our code, they'd need about 20 or more parking spaces. And you can obviously see they don't have that on site. They are trying to work with another property owner to rent space for parking. They also have some issues with septic that they have to work out with the county health department, and there may be some additional variances that they have to work with the zoning board about. To establish a bar tavern there, they need a special use permit. Special permit to do that in that area, so that also has to go before the zoning board. So they're at the beginning of this, and really, one of the owners said if they can't work out the parking, then it just won't work for them. So they're trying to work out first, because that's sort of the linchpin.
Where are they looking at over by?
In the homestead.
Yeah. Okay.
The issue with that, and you know, I mentioned this to them, is the village has tried to contact that property owner for other reasons many times, and it's not really been.
So the homestead's owner owns that whole parking area too.
Yeah, they own the homestead.
Sure
they
own any of that.
No.
Okay. Yeah, and maybe they can make a deal and pay it for them.
Yeah. I mean, but they have to contact. So they're beginning, but and they're aware of the issues that they're facing, and. You know, they're trying to make a go on.
Right.
But so they're going to have to go before the planning board at least one more time, And then they'll have to deal with the zoning board for the for other permits. So.
All right. Thank you. So I think we can cross off the master plan update committee. That has been currently dissolved. Under old business, we still have the abandoned building and animal control law, which we're going to be forming a new zoning ordinance committee. So I think they're going to we'll let them look at that when they get up and running. And realistically, it's coming up on the end of the year, and holidays are coming. So my goal right now is to put the committee together and to have them start work right after the holidays. So realistically, because November and December are going to be kind of tough to get any work done anyway.
Yes. Water protection, gentlemen.
Yes. Andrew.
Yeah, I'm waiting to hear from the chairman. Who's the chairman?
Andrew.
Oh, Andrew. Mm-hmm. The guy that had yet.
Stephen Winkley.
Thank you. I'm waiting to hear from Andrew when our first meeting is going to be. So I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, I'll email him and find out what's going on.
But that's still in the works.
He's out of town.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to forward them some stuff. There's a couple of good meetings that look like that might fall into their realm of that they may want to, somebody from that group might want to attend.
I had a discussion with him on other matters. He brought up the water board, so he's definitely interested in
it. Yeah, I know he got that Steve from Rural Water sent everyone out an email to wants to get together and have a kickoff meeting, but I don't know if it happened yet at this point. So I have to get in touch with him so that we're out of the line of communication. All right, so the next piece is the refuse bid. So everybody should have gotten the information from Matt on the refuse bid. So basically, when I was at the NICOM conference, I was talking with New York State procurement. I went to a New York State procurement class, and I was talking to one of the women that were running that, and there actually is a state contract for refuse. So I did ask Matt to look at that also. So he came back, and his recommendation is to accept the bid from County Waste. He says we don't have an option of extending the contract for another year since it's reached its conclusion, and the OGS contract is significantly higher than the one that we received from County Waste on this one here. So under resolutions, I'll be putting out that we accept this contract and move on with that.
Well, I have a question on this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a tremendous difference between the state contract price and what would be if we go with what we are now. It seems like there's something wrong in there. We're looking at $175 per unit versus $493 if you went with a state contract. And one other question I have in there is, he's got three figures down in here. It's warmer price, $601.4, contract pricing for hauling, $46. And
right.
The third line is the one I have a question on. $20,726 estimated. This is actually the real number. Real number for what?
What's the tipping fee?
It's the tipping fee. So the Urswama, there's actually three, there's a couple, more than one part to this. So there's the Urswama operating budget is the dues that we pay to our Urswama that belong to their organization. That's the $6,000.
Okay.
So the $46,000 is the price for the pickup every Tuesday. And then the $20,726, which I'm not sure that that's correct, but I don't know where you got the number from, but that's not, doesn't appear to be the number that we worked with when we did budget. But what he says is that's what the tipping fee was. So they pick up the garbage here, they take it up to B3 and weigh it, and then they take it and dump it. And then we have to pay by weight to get rid of it.
So what we're paying for hauling and by weight.
So you add all these things together, and that's what it costs
all
us
right,
to do
okay.
refuse.
I understand that now. With one other question, we have on the budget, under refuse garbage, $111,500
mm-hmm.
is the expenditure. Now, that's just a guess based on everything going wrong or something?
No. Actually, that's a we used historical numbers for... to come up with that number, which is why I say that this $20,000 he has is the real number for 2015, I don't think is correct. At least it's not the number that we used. And I just got this like 2 days ago when I sent it out to everybody else, October 11th, which was yesterday. So I haven't had time to research it yet, but anyway, so the $111,000 is what we collect to do a refuge. And we also include other things in there. We include the two cleanup days, so like the one for this month. We have to pay for the dumpsters and the tippage, and we have to pay Jay and Pete to be here to unload vehicles and whatnot. And we also, we don't pay for hazardous, but we pay for this stuff. So we pay to have the dumpster tipped on this too. So
we have to have the resolution tonight on it, or do you want to get to the bottom of that number before?
Well, no, the numbers, it's not really relevant to the contract. I mean, it's a tipping fee. It's, you know, it's not part of the contract itself.
Okay, so it doesn't.
So this is all we're accepting right now is the piece in the middle. The 46098 price there. I mean, that's the hauling price, and that's what the contract was about, was the hauling price.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
Okay, and the we don't under general fund A have any other costs for the individuals for the garbage. In other words, what we see here, these 46 is what it's going to cost.
The 46 is for county waste to come in every Tuesday and pick up all the cans and take it and dispose of it.
Okay.
Okay. And the second number there is represents the weight of what they pick up.
Okay.
That's why we need to recycle.
There will be a price increase for each resident or each unit within the village.
Right.
Right.
There will be because yes, it's higher than what it used to be. So it will go up starting in January.
Yeah, it says
June.
Approximately $10.50 per resident.
Mm-hmm.
That's Phil's estimate. When Matt and I at the last meeting, we roughly thought that it was like 430 units. Within the village, to come up with that number. It could be more, it could be just a little less. So.
The 429, I guess, was correct. That's right, Missy?
Yeah. 429.
Yeah. So 430 is a good number.
The last billing.
So, yeah, so we'll go up about 1050. But, and then we'll review that, take that into consideration when we do this year's budget. So that would raise it up from the 46 number, $46,098 to $48,854.52 based on 429 units. Right.
Bob, is there a term under the new contract? 3 years?
I think it was a 3-year contract with 2 optional years, right? A 2-year contract? And it had two...
2-year contract with 2 1-year...
Yeah, I think he had 2 1-year extensions. So, we can... Any other questions on... Any other discussion on this? We will handle it under resolution, but... parking and sign report. Anything on that, Bill?
No, nothing at all.
That was you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're doing that? Sorry.
So I had Missy distribute this report last, the last meeting. Basically, with the help of officers Jones and Clano, we went through all the village code having to do with parking, parking signs, speed limits, and stop intersections, and things like that. And I just indicated where we, you know, there's some issues. There are, you know, many places that don't have signs. Some places that, according to the law, according to the village code, are supposed to have a stop sign, and there's no stop sign there. I don't know if at some point it was changed, or so we just need to, you know, think about cleaning that up a little bit. You know, I included in here some of the recommendations. I don't know if it's included in your...
No,
it was
last
month.
I have a copy if somebody wants to see mine.
I don't think I look at it. So, you know, I don't know if everyone's gone through it, but...
Thank you, Missy.
You know, we can...
I don't know if I haven't looked through it yet, so I think we should...
We can table it till next time?
Table it.
So just let's make sure we get through it. There's not that much, but you know, this. Yeah.
And we get a cost on this one?
Sure. Per. We'll just get a per sign. Yeah, we'll get a per sign.
I'm sure the different types of ones have different pricing.
Yeah, that's the thing. Some of them.
Out of streets, yeah, because it's a highway item. That's why I first went to. But
I mean, the other, you know, I can just get you thinking now about certain things like the parking situation around Westbrook Drive and Maple. I mean, that's all no parking. I mean, people park there, so we could either change the code so that we can allow parking there, or we could not have the code.
In front of their houses.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the, you know,
well,
so sometimes...
It's not a thoroughfare, so, you know, I think that would really disgruntle a lot of residents who do park in front of their house.
Right, which is just why typically they don't enforce that,
right,
but we should take it off the books then. Right.
Well, there's a resolution on some of them. In the old books, there's resolutions that changed a few of them. Westbrook is one of them.
Okay, well, they're not... You have to
look through the old resolutions. There's lots of stuff that has been changed, actually.
Well, then, we need to update the codes to make sure that they reflect what the actual laws are, then. That would be one.
Yeah, that'd be helpful.
Whose job is that? That
would be helpful.
No, that's actually the clerk's job.
So in any case, there's some deficiencies in what people can read as the law.
I'm calculating.
If there are the law, then we need to just make sure that those are the same, too. So,
understood.
So, you know... It's a good thing that we went through this so that, you know, we see where the deficiencies are and we can fix them easily enough. Maybe we don't have to make any decisions or very few decisions.
Are you going to make it a point to look through the resolutions guide to see what has been changed and what hasn't been changed?
If someone can point them out to me, I'd be happy to look through them.
Okay.
But they're not changed in the code book.
The code book, yeah. Right.
So if there's something out there that... So normally you pass, well, you can't change a law by resolution anyway. You need to pass a local law to change the old law. Mm-hmm. So if there's a local law out there that changed the existing law, so if the law says there's no parking on Westbrook Drive and someone passed a local law that says that you can, you know, we rescind that law, then it should have gone to the Secretary of State, and then a new code page should have been sent to us to put in the book so that we have an updated book.
That's how that works?
That's how it works. And normally after these are done, I mean, the clerk usually takes care of that stuff. But, I mean, who knows how long ago this was done, but we may have to catch up if there's local laws. If there's not local laws and it's just resolutions, then it's just we're thinking about it. We didn't do anything yet.
And for the most part, again, with that kind of thing, unless there's an issue with, blocking you in an intersection or something like that, I know the police, they're not stopping people from parking on the street over there.
And it's not?
Because it's...
It's not labeled anyway.
It's not labeled anyway.
Right.
So I don't know. But if you just...
Yeah, I'll look through it. Yeah, by next meeting I'll look through it thoroughly.
Good. Thank you.
Okay, new business. We have home numbers for 9011 addresses. So,
want me to make a comment?
What's that on there for? Yes.
Okay. A gentleman lived here for a long time. Came into the office here a few days ago and said, "You know what? There are not many house numbers on any of the places in the village here." And he says, "You know what's going to happen if you get a 911 call?" And they can't find the house. So I've looked around a little bit. I live out in the Skodak area, and about half of the houses out there don't have any numbers on them either. So this is something that the village can't pay for, obviously. I think it's up to the individual homeowner to do it. But maybe we should get some sort of a notification out there that they ought to... consider this, putting the numbers on their houses to make it easier. Maybe an article in
Village Green.
The Village Green, yes, the Village Green.
You write it, I'll be happy to include.
That would be, I think, a great idea for a start anyway, and then you can try and push it from there on. I'll talk with the people out in my area out here, and if nobody has a number, I'll individually call them. Okay?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I mean,
as a responder.
I mean, most of the houses we find in the village, it can be challenging at times when they're not numbered. So,
Bill, you're going to write something for Kurt?
I could if you'd like me to.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. You have to.
All right. Here's Dave. Good. We'll give Dave a minute to settle up.
Hey, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Hello. I don't think they report. Sorry.
Just got
new haircut.
What?
New haircut. Yeah, I got a new haircut.
Did you get the email about the garbage being dumped?
Yeah, I think there is stuff that we can do. I've seen people prosecuted for that. I mean, I don't know if we've been discussing publicly about the individual.
No, and if we're going to go into that, we should do that in executive session.
Yeah. But it's not out of the question. I understand what Tom was saying about the issues, but we haven't talked to people
about it. Can we talk about it generally first, then?
Yeah, where is it happening?
We could talk about it generally.
In general,
nothing specific. Therefore.
So the issue is people coming and dropping things off at here.
And what happened here was they went through the stuff that was dropped off and they found some identifying names of mailing documents that were there, which was included in the email to me. So the question is that strong enough evidence to bring a case for unlawful littering? I've seen people charged in that way where the litter was like tossed off the side or down the bank. What?
Nothing. You got the name.
Well, with all the names in there, the utility bills and all that stuff. In this case, it was dumped into our sector, but there must be some prohibition on that, a trespass or something like that, that we could at least bring it to their attention, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, it wasn't just a few bags, it was several.
Yeah, I saw the pictures. Yeah, it was pretty dramatic.
It was
and it
a whole trailer load of stuff.
Yeah, it wasn't exactly neatly disposed.
Right, exactly. Well, it was neatly disposed in our metal dumpster, but Jay had to remove all that because that's our recyclable.
Oh, that was the pictures after he took the stuff
out? It was
out.
After
oh, okay.
He
I thought they
moved
just...
it. He took it out.
Oh, okay.
That was all the stuff that he had to remove.
No, we can talk. If we can go to the executive session if you want to talk about that. That's a litigation piece. We can talk about that. But there's...
So, yeah, so basically we pick up, I mean, for those of us that, you know, have debris we want to get rid of, we offer a service for you to bring that debris to here, to Village Hall, and we will collect it from you for a fee twice a year. We do it in the spring after the yard sale, and then we do it in the fall, which we're doing this Saturday. And we don't allow... you know, folks, whether they're village residents or not, just to come up and, you know, just dump their stuff off in the backyard or in the dumpster, as the case may be. That we always have one dumpster back there for metal. And if we know, we can work something out to bring, you know, items that are of metal, because there's no charge to get rid of that stuff, and we would work with you on that. But not C&D and just regular trash. We don't. We only do that twice a year. So the issue is that someone came and dumped their trash in our yard, and that's what the discussion's about. So just to get you up to date. So.
Missy, that clothes place is awful again now. The old mobile station. Just let you know.
They come every other Wednesday.
Yeah, it's all over the ground now.
All right, I'll call them again.
Well, I mean, one of the other issues with that, though, is that, you know, in general, we don't, the actual code is a little out of date. I think we need to look at that, too, going forward, obviously, not in this case.
Yeah.
It can't happen. But
it's signed out there, right? In other words, there have been signs. There are. I mean, I've seen the report.
There's signs, but they're not. They
well,
don't say.
Signs say no dump.
Yeah.
And it's private property. You just can't come on somebody's property and dump stuff.
Well, this is public property, and taxpayers pay for what happens here. So
it's
there's some issue.
It's quasi-public.
Right.
It's not public.
No doubt. And it's not, according to the code, it's not an authorized dumping. So by definition, it's illegal dumping. So, you know, we just need to sort of, I think, just look it over a little more closely and make sure that it meets the standards meets the processes we use now, whereas before we used to allow people to come and drop off recyclables because we had the bins, and it was just different. We did things differently.
Yeah. But that hasn't been a problem for quite a while. This is the first time I remember this happening a long time. Well, at least
I've been focused. Yeah, I mean, it happens.
We see the branding. You just remember we had the issue with all the appliances.
Mm-hmm. You know, there were probably half a dozen stoves and refrigerators out there just a couple months ago. And, you know, we were able to arrange to get it taken away for nothing, but it's not always the case.
But you do pay a fee, but
right.
I know that I dropped off the refrigerator and I made sure that
right. Some people do stop in and they prearrange it and they give me the money and we do take them, but some people don't.
Okay.
There's usually an evacuation charge with a refrigerator anyway, so it's not like
it costs us money to get
it. Yeah, $15.
Yeah.
Drop it off.
All right. So with that, we'll open the floor for public comment. Charlie.
Bob, there's only two things. One. We had our swan meeting on the 4th. Matt would really like to get a jump on the calendars for next year for all the municipalities. And the other big thing is that the household hazardous waste collection site is scheduled for the 29th of April in Hoosier Falls. Normally it's been in Skodak and Nassau, but he felt that everybody else should have their fair share. So this time it's going to be Hoosier Falls. I think thereafter it's going to be at Stephen Town, so he's going to start rotating the households having to replace. The other thing is, for Dave, has there been any movement on that garage that's kind of strapped to the tree by the going up to the school?
No, not really.
You know, I thought the one that's, I'm not sure what the address is.
No, we talked about it before, but no, I really don't. It's an Albany Avenue address, actually.
That's all I
have. Charlie, I just have one question. I've had a lot of calls this week because it's cleanup day about the hazardous waste. Do you know what the rule is on the paint cans? Obviously, it's not for this weekend. I told them that, but they said that it dries out, they can throw the cans away?
No.
What is the rule on that?
No, there's not. There's no, they can take it to the, they can take it to the warehouse, and if it's dry, the latex is dry, they have to pay $2.
So you can't let your paint dry out in the can, chip it out, and then throw your can away?
For me, I don't think that's okay. That's the reason why they hold the household hazardous waste. But they, the people from wherever they come from, they do all that.
I just had a lot of questions about that this week, and I don't really know the answer.
No,
I guess
no, it's not. I could contact Matt, but I think he's going to say the same thing. That it's not allowed for at least for the one in the spring and one in the one to the side of it.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Sir?
I don't need to be a call, sir. I'm not a resident of the village in Nassau, but I'm here with Tammy Hollenbeck, who is down at 57 Elm Street. And I'm going to ask for the support of the village in a particular issue regarding the Lacey Kill. She sits right next to the Lacey Kill. Now, up to a couple of weeks ago, all of a sudden the Lacey Kill had an algae bloom, the likes of which you rarely ever see. And that kind of an algae bloom, just based on my own education in the dark, is usually as a result of some sort of a chemical input into the water, giving the algae something to eat, fertilizer runoffs or something like that. It was so intense that one day even the turtles were flying out of the water all over the place. They couldn't survive in there. And just after attacking. What is in the water? DEC did come down, did take some samples and said, make sure you don't let your animals, because they know algae blooms are poisonous. You see it, you know, like red tides and stuff, there's no difference. Got to find out what's in that water. What's coming down? Is it coming down from the landfill up at the lake? So that's one question. The second question is flooding. Now, where her property is located, the property on the opposite side of the creek has got a wall. Her property does not. Now, when they open the dam, because of too much water, her property floods. It's an unnatural flooding. It's caused by man. Well, one solution would be there's a lot of log jams in that immediate area. And you go down the creek just a little bit, and there's a fairly decent area where the water to have its time and not to bother much of anything. The question was asked for the DEC, can the logs be removed in this area to stop the backup? Oh no, it's an estuary. Okay. It's an estuary, can't remove the logs, but we've got a man-made created flood coming down. It's not a natural flood, it's not from, you know, rainfall. I would like to see if any of you guys could prevail upon the DEC to go down there and go from the bridge down approximately 200 meters, just clear that area out and open the channel up a little bit, and then if you go down a little bit further, you see there's a channel that was there that's kind of blocked and it could be easily dug up and reopened up that would alleviate the flooding. And we do have pictures here of the flooding if you're interested in looking at it.
Sure.
I understand that the DEC is not, well, you know, there's nothing you can directly do about it.
Right.
But you're in a position where Tammy's not. So, but I'm just going to...
Hey, Bob.
Yeah, we did get an email on the plume. Yeah. So.
Here's some pictures of her bike. And again, it's man-made flooding. So the argument about it being an estuary is kind of counterbalanced by the fact that the flooding is caused by man.
Mm-hmm.
So 50-50, and I get a little water. Opening up.
Is it an estuary water that's tidal?
The DEC said it is an estuary, and
how can it be tidal this far up?
Watershed.
That's what they call it. Part of the watershed is estuary. You know, that's their designation, not ours. But a clear of about 200 meters at most.
And it's also very good to have a floodplain.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we can send a letter for something to DEC. I'm not sure what kind of response we'll get, but. But we'll make an effort.
Is the blockage in the village or is it in the town?
It's in the village.
Okay.
If you go right along the bridge, start at the bridge, and go down about 200 meters, you'll see the blockages. And if you remove those blockages, that'll open the flow. Then you go down and bends over and forks into two separate forks. Well, there was a third fork that you can go in and you can see it coming back partway and it was blocked. Well, if that's opened up, it's more...
Can it be moved with manpower as opposed to machinery, or do you have to...
You would need a little bit of machinery. Probably, to take the whole thing and clean out the whole thing, probably about a day, maybe, to do the whole job.
Yeah, it's all the environmental regulations and stuff that we've been dealing with on that, but... Okay.
I think years ago we had an issue, basically the same thing, and I think Bob Severance at the time, who was the mayor, we contacted the Corps of Engineers,
mm-hmm.
and I think they're the ones that relieved the or opened up the creek.
I do have some information on that. I just talked to the Department of Environmental Conservation as well as the Environmental Protection Agency. I did speak with the representatives that came out and took the water samples while the algae bloom was in. Full effect. I do have animals. I am concerned. My cat did drink out of the water there. I also have a recent rodent problem with excessive amounts of skunk, woodchuck, and opossums, and tons of squirrels. I like wildlife, but I don't like it having the fact that it has to come over to my property to drink out of the tainted water. So I'm saying that, that there's going to be dead animals all over the place because of that, which I haven't seen, but I have seen that the squirrel population has, gone down quite a bit. But now, getting back to what you were saying about getting in contact with the Harlem Navy Corps of Engineers, the head honcho of the state there, Robert, he said that the dredging that they used to do for these kind of situations has not been done in a number of years. The reason why they have said that they don't want to do those kind of things is because they don't want to disturb the silt, because that can serve other issues, especially now with this algae bloom from a malorganite, that is the hardware stores and all this stuff should not be selling malorganite. First of all, and people should not be using Roundup from Monsanto, because it's all polluting all of our soil that we have here. And you can see what's happening with the soil pollution and it's polluting our water. Same thing for any of them. I was bitching and complaining about because it's polluting your water. And that's what's happening right here in our small village. Now, I don't know, I've called numerous occasions to the village and to the town to bring this issue up. And I only get dispersed from the village to the town, or from the town to the county, from the county to the state, from the state to the federal, and I am a, United States Air Force honorably discharged veteran. So I do work with the capital with Colleen Williams, the veterans representative there. I've been in Neil Breslin's office. I am quite active in lobbying, and also I've talked with the master gardener in Troy. There's a major issue here in this part of the state with the Emerald Pine Bear, Pine Borer. Ash borer.
Yeah.
So the ash trees are in a major epidemic right now. And there's some trees that are in danger of falling on the highway. So
So I was wondering if there's anybody that has contacted their next level of government to find out if there's been a grant asked for to have them come in here and help assist remove the infected trees. The only way to deal with these is to remove them. Without the removal, it's going to continue to infect. And our trees are so important for our oxygen, for our environment, and for our climate. People really need to be, you know, involved with this, because we have to think of our kids and our kids' kids. And if we don't take care of it, we're not involved, we're not going to have an environment for our kids to live on, and they're going to be off this earth. This is our whole world, if you start thinking of it in that sense. This is where we came from. And if you think of what's happening in the future, this earth is going to be demolished if we don't take care of it. And they tell me at the highest level to go to the smallest level. Here I am at the bottom level. I call it a red line. The buck stops here, folks. So what I'd like to do is see, you said you have a grant writing thing going on Saturday. What is it you're trying to obtain grants for?
On Saturday, that's for the Main Street grant. That's to clean up the Main Street to help the businesses with the facades and that type of. It has nothing to do with the watershed, but you're more than welcome to come.
Well, I'd also like to introduce this as an environmental concern that the village needs to be involved with, in the removal of the trees that may be over the county property, but it's also being paid for by the village taxpayers. Okay, so my property is in the village, my property is in the town, my property is in the county. I pay school taxes, I pay village taxes, I pay town taxes, I pay state taxes, I pay federal taxes, okay, so the buck's gotta stop here. Because they say it goes from bottom up. And I don't know what your emergency preparedness is on. You know, during the recent flood that we've had here, I had to call numerous different departments. People said, well, I've been around here for 30 years. Well, I'll tell you what, within the 30 years that they've been here, the tank on the back of my property floated down that watershed. Okay, they said, oh, the water's never been up this high. Okay, you got a lot of old dumpers, you need to get new people in. And I'm not being facetious about that. You know, a lot of the kids in this area are going to want to get involved. And you're going to need to open up those positions and have internships and some, you know, incentives for them to get involved. This is small. You start small and you can bring out larger. Now, I'd be glad to help head up any committees that, you know, you may have an opening for. I currently am retired, so I do have some time available to volunteer. And I'm just really tired of getting around, talking and bringing all of these things up to the attention of other people. This is their job. They're getting paid to do. I'm not getting paid to do any of this, and yet it's all my time. So, I mean, like I said, I don't mind doing this, but at some point in time, something has to be done about it instead of just talking. Because I can only talk about it so much and be deferred to some other, governing agency, now to go local municipal
ordinance. We're going to do something. We will contact DEC and, you know, the Corps of Engineers. But really, they have absolute nobody can do anything because state law says that they have control of anything within 100 feet of the bank of that estuary. Nobody can, even the village could not go in, even the village could not go in into that 100-foot space and do anything without a permit from DEC.
Right.
So they are the one that decides what can be done and what can't be done. But so we need to encourage them. We need to encourage them to do something.
Well, when was that law that you were just bringing up tonight?
That's been around for a while.
Is it something that you want to have done? Or is it code been on the books for too long and it's not effective?
It's a state law, so
it needs to be adopted.
It's a state law.
Or rescinded and
rejected. It's a state law. It's nothing we can do here.
What did you say it's a state law?
Well, what I'm saying is
law.
The village doesn't have a law because we don't have a law. First of all, the stream that you're talking about is the boundary between the village and the town.
Okay.
Okay?
Just
secondly, it's controlled by New York State.
Mm-hmm.
They have control about it. The village cannot write a law. The village cannot write a law. Yeah, it is. You know, but where you need to, you know, if you want to change the law, you need to go down to the Capitol because they're the ones that, changed that law. I know you said you were, so, but they're the ones that do that. I mean, we can encourage the state to work with.
And I'm going
to
tell you what we can do. Come here and
do. And I'm telling you what we can do. We can encourage. We can encourage the government to address the situation, but that's the extent of what we can do.
Right.
So, I'm telling you, we will do that. Well, it may take forever. It may never get done.
There are a lot of things out here that need to be taken care of.
Yeah. But, and I'm telling you what we can do, and we will do what we can do.
Right.
And that's all I can tell you. I'm not going to tell you I'm going to do something I can't do.
Okay. And then another issue is that, like I brought up about emergency preparedness.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that mentioned here as well.
Yep.
On the third Thursday of the month at the interface of the church on the right hand side, this Thursday, as a matter of fact, there is an emergency preparedness meeting going on. So in case anybody's interested in that,
yep.
Okay.
We have it right here.
Okay. All right. Fine. But like I said, when I had called the state, I was just stand there for the fire department. Because these guys are old, 30 years, we've been here. Never seen it happen. And I'm calling, I don't know.
We put sandbags out a lot when it floods.
Yes, not a single one was put down on my property. Okay?
I mean, you know, there are a limited supply. I mean, they usually only have one load of sand over there, but...
Yeah, I put in 9 yards this year.
Yeah.
Alone.
Okay.
They used to before the aftershock was there.
And when were these taken, by the way?
This year.
Okay. All right. We'll like I say, we'll send a letter. That's what we can do.
And the main point that I'm getting at is about these trees. And like I said, I would like to come up here on Saturday to work to get a grant from the Department of Environmental Conservation or from the Environmental Protection Agency to not help our village to get cleaned up, to eradicate this problem that you cannot spray, and, you know, besides we don't really want to do that, but we want to get rid of them because it's a danger. I mean, these trees are being invaded from the inside out, making them weak. But you remember that big willow tree in back.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody remembers that tree. See, that was a big danger. Okay, and I needed to come down. Now, there's some other, trees. I don't know the whole village, but I know just by walking around, you can see the infection. And those trees are going to become brittle, the snow is going to come, and you're going to have a major issue. And then you're going to have to do the cleanup without the help from, the other agencies that you could have coordinated with ahead of time. Instead of being reactive, be proactive.
Well, I'm unaware of those, so, if you take care of that, then bring people information on that, that would be good.
Yeah, well, I talked to the master gardener in Troy.
All right, we need to move on because we got some other things to do here. Thank you, though.
You're welcome.
So, let's see. We'll do executive session last. We'll go through the resolutions first. Refuse bid award. Make a motion that we adopt the refuse bid, accept the refuse bid from county waste.
Second.
Second by Guy. Any questions on that? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. You have a list of additional records for disposal.
Terry and Maria were working on it. Since we have the person coming this weekend, they came up with more things that can be disposed of. So.
So these are all, you've gone through these, you're all set with them, you're good with them? Okay.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Dave to dispose of these, second by Bill. Any questions on the list?
Anybody want to keep anything on the list?
Anybody want to keep anything on the list? Okay, so the motion's to dispose of all the items on the list. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion's carried.
I have a
signed copy here.
I think I just need to sign it, actually. Do we have, you have a piece that we all have to sign off on this, Missy?
Well, no, only you,
or just
need
me.
You to sign.
Okay.
If they wanted to keep anything, they had to sign that area. Okay. What they wanted to keep.
All right, so make a motion to transfer $251 from A9040.8 to A1910.4 in the general fund. This is for an overage in the insurance line item to cover the cyber policy that we purchased. I think you were away when we did that, but it was like $850 or something, so ran the budget line over by $251. So. And it's coming out of water fund, or out of, yeah, I mean out of workers' comp, another insurance fund. So Randy made the motion, Guy seconded it. Any other questions on that? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion's carried. Second motion is to transfer $40,000 from fund balance to increase F8340.2 in the water fund. This is to finish up the Albany Avenue project. There was one significant change order that we had on that job early on. There were two services that were missed to the trolley shop and the computer store and the house out back that had to be bored under Route 20. And that was a $34,000 extra, so the overall the job ran over a few dollars for that. So that's what that's for. Motion for by Randy.
Second.
Second by Guy. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. The new building permit has been disseminated to the board. All those in favor of, I need a motion to adopt it. Motion by Dave.
Second
by Bill to adopt the new building permit. Any questions on the building permit? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Can we just follow up one?
Yep.
Can we make this a fillable PDF too, if possible? So kind of a
print.
Sure.
Why not?
Yeah, absolutely.
It is a PDF on my computer.
But is it fillable? Can you fill in?
Oh, fillable.
Yeah. There's a program for it. I bet you Kevin might have one.
There's a way I can send it to you and you can convert it.
Maybe. I'm not sure. I might be able to do that. I'll have to talk to...
And post it on the website?
Sure.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to go into executive session, and the only item coming out of executive session is going to be to audit the bills and then adjournment. So... if you all want to hang around to hear us do that, then feel free. If not, we're going to adjourn to executive session. Motion by Randy to go into executive session.
Second.
Second by Dave. Any, all those in favor?
Aye.
Motion's carried.
Out of executive session.
Motion by Randy to come out of executive session.
Second.
Second by Guy. All those in favor?
Aye.
Make the motion. Motion to audit the bills by Randy. Bills number 138 for number 166 in the amount of $16,162.16 in the general fund and $1,743.29 in the water fund. Motion by Randy.
Second.
Second by Bill. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion to adjourn by Randy.
Second.
Second by Guy.